This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Amir, do you want to start this episode?
Start it? No, I've never started an episode. You're the host.
Yeah, it's just switching it up. Because you can look at it two ways. You can look at it as this is inconsistent with how the show normally goes. You already look angry. You already look so upset.
What else is there other than this is inconsistent with how the show usually goes? What's the other option?
The other way you can look at it is we're fucking 12 weeks deep, Mike. So people are, you got to hit them with your best shot and then basically... hit them where it hurts, and then like they're not expecting it. It's unexpected, and we're all starting the show with the energy of we don't know what's going to happen next. Ferris,
I agree.
Really,
I would agree with that. I don't know what's going to happen right now.
Thank you.
No one's ever said that on this show.
That's really good.
Shit.
Usually, it's pretty straightforward. Yeah,
he's coasted this far on no confidence.
With us as never before is Mike Comite.
That's not true.
Really? I know you've been once, but I thought that you'd never been in the final cut.
I mean,
he was in an episode. You hosted a full hour-long episode with Mike.
Mike?
Yeah.
I stayed till the end of your entire rant. Like, you just talked about your life.
And I did appreciate that. Yeah. I did appreciate that, but I just don't know
how could you forget something like that? No one ever stays with you.
No,
and I
that's
held
true.
Your hand to your last word.
That's true. That's true, but not till the very last word, because you did end up leaving at the end of the diatribe, and then I had an outro. No one stays till the very end where I stop recording. Ferris, is that whiskey?
Yeah, I figured I should just get started. HeadGum Podcast.
So this show drives you to drink?
Yeah. Usually I save this. I was showing Amir and Mike this earlier.
It's Lagavulin.
Lagavulin 16. I usually reserve it for special occasions.
He ID'd that whiskey bottle the same way I ID'd the microphone when we jumped on the call.
We should say that we have both of HeadGum's main audio engineers in Mike Comite, Ferris Monshi on the pod. So with that in mind, bearing or otherwise, it's an audio-based podcast-paced in a way, but there's also a lot of pre-writing that I did that has to do with audio engineering. And that wasn't a long walk. That was the shortcut.
What if I left right now? 4 minutes in, gone. 46 minute, 98% of the episode without me. I was this close to pulling the trigger.
This is the most nervous I've been for an episode, and I don't know what... I think it's the absence of Marika.
Right. Rock. You're constant.
My conscience.
Yeah.
Mike, you have a Shure SM7B.
That's correct.
The Rolex of podcasting equipment.
Not the Rolex
at
all.
Not the Rolex at all. No, the Patek Philippe. Right? Even better than Rolex.
I don't know.
Ferris, what do you have?
It's the blue G-Shock.
This is
a snowflake. What is it called?
No. Don't lump me into that, okay? This is a Shure. I assure you, it's a Shure PG-42.
Nice. You're rubbing off on Monshi, and I don't like it. We have to quarantine Jeff for 10 days after his puns reached you.
I'm viral.
I can't help it, man. I edit this show every week. It's seeping in. It's just seeping in.
What's the difference between your Shure and Mike's Shure?
I'm sorry. Oh,
are you talking about Mike's Shure or Mike Shure, the showrunner
Mike
for Parks
and Rec? Shure. Of The Office fame.
Yeah. This is a condenser microphone.
Okay.
Which is different than Mike Shure, the person. Easy to kind of not see that.
Thank you.
But The main difference is that this is a condenser microphone, which has a specific type of pickup pattern. It's good for vocal performances, singing, recording instruments, as opposed to Mike Schur, who creates television sitcoms.
Okay.
Yeah, it is okay. Sorry, don't think about it like you said something.
I'm trying to like, because it's a lot of like tech mumbo jumbo.
It's an obvious, not really. One's a microphone and one's a person.
He said condenser, and then he said that the audio mapping, and I didn't understand the last. I kind of zoned out after that.
What about the difference between Mike Schur and Mike Schur? Then it's like we're getting really in the weeds here. So Mike is a SM7B, right?
Yeah, same as you.
Same as me. And then Mike Schur again is just a comedy writer. So
can you not do him the disservice of saying he's just a comedy writer? Because he's also an Emmy winner. All right. He's popular with
winner
the,
or nominated or both.
Nominated. He is Emmy nominated. He was Emmy winning, I think. There's no way he got out of the office without an Emmy or five. Mike, you and I talked about microphones the other day. I have an Audio Technica ATX 2021 or something.
What watch is that?
What's that?
What's the
What's the one that you find in the box of Lucky Charms?
Yeah, what's the watch, the equivalent? It's a fucking Casio calculator watch that's
This
broken.
Isn't even a watch, it's a locket, right? So some people have pocket watches, which are basically lockets with watches in them. This is just a shell of a mic. Mike,
it's
you're not
USB
a fan
mic.
Of this. Yeah, you're not a fan of this, Mike.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's just, it's
you think
the
it's
implementation.
Overrated?
No, I think it's the implementation of it. I think it gets used in a lot of situations that aren't ideal. It's like the Blue Yeti. You know, I hate that mic, but it's just like it's a very popular mic that gets used in a lot of less than ideal situations. And because of that, people's audio suffer for it.
The same goes for you. You're a very popular mic who sometimes gets misused in certain situations that makes people's audios bad. So if I send you kind of a file that's just absolutely peaking from this, honestly, shell of a mic, as I said, this piece of shit, there's nothing you can do with that.
There's some things I can do with that.
Okay.
They won't sound good, but...
Right. Sorry.
I have a question. I had a question.
That's fine.
If this isn't the greatest mic to podcast with, then what is? I'd like to hear from the audio engineers. And at this point, Jeff, you don't have to ask any follow-ups. I know they'll be stupid. They'll be weird. They'll like, yes, exactly. Zip your mouth. A simple answer or two from Ferris and Mike. I'm curious is all. So let's hear what they have to say. What do you guys think is, if I'm at home just like this in my house, specifically this empty-ish room, what's the best microphone I can use?
I would say, I'd like, honestly, it is less about the mic. I mean, yes, the mic is important, but your room can make or break everything, honestly. So with that Shure SM7B, you can get very far, just like we did in the Headgum Studios, with a well-treated room. You can go real far with just a standard workhorse mic like that. I don't know, if you really want to go for like pristine vocal quality, and Mike, I want to hear what you think about this, but I've enjoyed the Neumann TLM 103, really good for voiceover. Your listeners are definitely dropping off, by the way, like as we're having this discussion.
Ferris, cut this out.
Yeah, Ferris, please. I'm going to cut this out. But
wow, this is a $71,000 microphone. Interesting. Okay, so
are you serious?
You highly recommend this one
on Sweetwater. You can get it for like $69,000. Yeah.
That's not much less.
Free shipping, though.
Better.
Yeah,
be.
No, it's a great... You know what the thing is, though? What you guys are using, the Shure SM7B, it's a dynamic mic. And so what that... It's better at capturing more of what's super close to it and less of, like, the room that you're in. But for example, what I'm using is capturing... As a condenser mic, it captures much more of the room. So you really need, like... You really need a well-treated room for it. So all that's to say, dynamic... will get most people extremely far in an even okay treated room, because your room is less of the equation.
And that's, I think, what Mike, your issue was with this mic, was that it's a condenser, and Riley and I do review on this thing, and we're honestly not careful in ways. You know, I just started, I started doing the closet thing maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, because before that I was doing it in my bedroom and echoey, bouncing off wood. It was absolute carnage on the edit. I was like having to cut good jokes out because there was, I mean, what's the opposite?
Yeah, I wanted to hear what Mike had to say. Let me zip your mouth. So let's, we haven't even heard from Kamate yet, and you're sort of talking about how to describe the audio bouncing off the walls. Figure out your fucking report, metaphors on report. Your own time. Yep, got it. Let's hear what Mike you thinks have the is
floor.
The best mic.
The acoustics report, yeah. Mike, you have the floor.
Ferris, leave that in, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
The best mic is the mic that you have. Whatever mic you have, you know?
That's beautiful. God, I can't believe Ferris said a Neumann T. Like, what was that? A TLM 103? That means nothing. The best mic is the one that you have. That's perfect. So, Jeff, let's see your shitty ass microphone again. I guess that's the best mic.
It's the Audio Technica.
That's the one that you have. Oh, yeah.
ATB 2020 condenser. Right.
Is there a light inside of that microphone?
There's a light. There's a light inside of it just for like. It's for show.
And it does hum.
In case you're recording buzz. In the dark, so you can just know where the mic is, because everybody records in a dark room. I see the computer screen glowing on your face.
You know what, Ferris? Take it away. Take it away.
With what? What would Ferris do round two?
Absolutely, what would Ferris do? These are only for Ferris, but Mike and Amir, chime in. That'll be Chine. Number one, every time you wash your jock straps, they seem to get bigger. It has to be. What would Ferris do?
It has to be what?
It had to be big. Ger than last time.
What am I using the jock straps for? Like, what am I playing?
Everyday use. So basically, you're going to and from the office. This is COVID. All these questions are COVID aside. So don't think about how COVID would affect your everyday jock straps. But
I won't.
You wash them, and every time you kind of put them on, it's like, why is there a little extra room in front? It has to be that the strap is getting bigger. You know what I mean?
Not like me getting smaller. That would be like an initial concern.
That can't be it, because if that's it, then I have to go see a urologist probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I just wear it daily, like go into the HeadGum Studios wearing the jock strap all the time. And I'm conflating a jock strap with a cup. Maybe I don't know the difference, but
the cup goes
I imagine
in the
myself.
Strap.
Huh? Okay. Yeah. I would probably pair it with a cup, and I'm imagining myself just being like just a really frustrating engineer to deal with at HeadGum. And so I just walk in with a cup prepared for just, you know, in case I tick anyone off, they can just, or in fact, you know, some hosts need to like let out some steam. So sure. I'm like, I got you, dude. Listen, you can kick me as hard as you want in my dick and balls, and that'll be fine.
Wow. Wow.
That's
awesome.
Actually really
good. Let's see Earwolf match that, right?
But impossible.
They might not want to. It's not a matter of if they could or
still.
Not.
Yeah.
To answer the question, though, penile enhancement.
For sure.
Just keep catching up.
Yeah, just so that you don't have to buy new trucks.
Opa Manchi style more than anything.
Okra Manchi like style. Okra. How do you prepare your okra? What would Ferris
actually? I'm not sure.
Do we have to do anything here? Or are you just interviewing?
I said
Ferris
chime in if you want.
Do
you guys want to tell? Yeah, your side of it. The game is called "What Would Ferris Do," but anybody can answer.
Yeah, I'm gonna need some help. I'm gonna tag you guys in because I've actually
Ferris. We're no. answering.
No. Don't answer as me because only my mother has cooked okra for me. I've never actually worked with it myself. So answer as you guys. What
Someone
would you do?
You barely know gives you a very expensive gift. What would Ferris do / what would everybody do? Let's pull the room in a way.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I have some thoughts, but someone else jumped in.
I guess I would keep the gift. I don't know. What are you asking? Like if somebody gave me like a car or something?
Yeah, a car, a necklace, like a really rare like amulet, like some kind of like thing that was clearly excavated from an ancient Egyptian cave, like an Indiana Jones type scavenge hunt in a way. So someone just kind of runs up to you on the street and they said, take good care of this, and they give it to you and they like put it in your hand, your palm, and then close your palm over the amulet.
Right. Keep
or a car. Yeah.
Keep it.
I would probably keep it until something went wrong in my life and then blame the amulet and just try to get rid of it, burn it in a fire or something like that.
Ferris?
Oh, me, I would just feel obligated to buy them something back, and that would be very frustrating.
I mean,
a little different, but I just held on to my answer from like 2 minutes ago. I should have probably piggybacked, but
that's Mike. I agree with you. I would definitely, the amulet is cursed, but this is only one scenario. Like the car could be cursed too, or also just like drive really smooth. All wheel drive.
Blame the car. If I got into an accident, I would say I would blame the person who gave it to me. I'd say this never would have happened if they hadn't given me this goddamn beautiful car.
Somehow the other guy who's in the accident also blames them.
Yeah, he would say, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that person. And so basically any gift I get, I wait for it to go wrong. And then I'm upset whoever gave it to me.
Damn, that's such a bad mantra to have. But what about this? Ferris mantra. So it's you and you're kind of like repeating something during a silent meditation.
Yeah, what about that? What about that? That's your question. What about this?
I'm just saying, what
Ferris
about it?
Mantra.
I don't know what it could be. It could be something or not. Like, we're spitballing. It's like a writer's room.
It's
Mike Schur style.
It's not something. It's not,
not
something.
Yet.
I'll answer it. Yes. Not ever. Next question.
When I was growing up.
Ferris prefers fucking okra. Did we ever
no, we
get back to that, by the way?
That. He said that mother's the only one who's made him okra. And then he asked your guys' opinion. Deafening silence from Mike. Sure, SM7B. All right. You get offered $200,000 a year, salaried, but it's a very boring job. It's somewhere shitty. What would Ferris do? / everybody.
Ferris would suck it up for a year or two and
take
a really epic
10-year contract.
And then that way
he would break it. A 10-year contract. I was going to go with what Amir was saying. Stick it out for a year or two. Just get into real estate after that, like quit the job and just use that money. Just be kind of, set myself
actually.
Up. But 10-year contract.
You're talking about house hacking. You're talking about getting like a duplex or triplex, living in one of the units, and then the other units kind of pay for your living expenses.
You know what's up, Jeff. I like this. We should talk about this sometime.
I want to
We should
do
get
that.
Into it now.
Yeah, we can talk about house hacking. I had like 9 other, what would Ferris's do? But my goal in life is on my 30th birthday to put a down payment down on a multifamily property.
In LA, or could it be like in like Arlington, Texas, where it's like $71,000 for that?
Well, I could probably do that sooner than
that. So you're talking about doing it like in a city you'd want to live in?
Yeah, where I would live in one of the units.
And you call that house hacking? It sounds like it's just being a landlord. It's like one of the most basic things
archaic.
In real estate. You're talking about hacking. It's like, I'm not hacking the Nintendo by playing it. You're just owning property and renting it out.
That actually reminds me.
There's
what
no
about
hack.
Have you guys ever clothes hacked? So basically getting like a piece that you might have for a while.
So you're buying a sweater.
I have a blue
blazer.
Yeah,
that's not hacking.
Do you mean just like a long term?
You're just buying a shirt or a jacket.
Like a high quality shirt that'll last several years. Is
yeah,
that,
like something where.
Like, have
once
I ever
you
done
finally
that?
Kind of grow out to the size you think you might be. Like, you're not getting taller, like you're working out, so you're not going to get bigger or smaller. You're not losing weight, you're not gaining weight. That's when you get the good jacket. That's when you go in for a Hugo, a Zenya. Mike?
Yes?
God damn it. You just moved. Tell us about your house hacking experience.
It was bad. I got movers for the first time ever. I never hired movers to move. I've always just had friends come and help me or rented a truck myself and driven it
over.
That's
a big step. That's a big step towards being an adult, is the hiring of movers versus.
That's
just,
exactly what the mover said to me. Cause I was standing outside the truck, kind of just sitting there with my, like kind of pacing back and forth, watching them lift heavy boxes and furniture. And I was like, is there anything I can do right now to make this easier? Like, I got them water and everything like that. And the guy goes, nah, man, you're good. And I go, sorry, this is my first time hiring movers. And I just don't know what to do with myself right now. And he looked at me and he goes, you're an adult now. And just went back and got the next box.
Are you still in Brooklyn Heights?
No, I'm not.
Gowanus?
Let's do a thing where you try and name the celebrity who lives nearest to me right now. I'm in
Boreham
Park
Hill.
Slope now.
Oh, you're in Park Slope?
Yeah, North Slope.
Mark Ruffalo.
Blake Lively has a spot over there, right? Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds?
I'm actually, I don't know the answer. I'm asking you because you did this.
No,
before.
I don't know.
I know Buscemi lives near me.
Oh, yeah, then Buscemi. Obviously Buscemi.
Steve?
That's fun.
I've seen him on 7th Street before. Or 7th, yeah, 7th Street.
Jeff actually does a really good Buscemi. Do the thing where it's Buscemi trying to order pizza, but it's just a salad place.
That's where I saw Buscemi.
Yeah, do Buscemi at Just Salad, and okay. He's trying to order a pizza, a full pizza pie.
Hey, guys, can I get a pizza? What do you mean, shut the fuck up, Donnie? That was a movie I did.
Oh, you know what? I'm thinking of somebody else.
Okay.
Yeah, I have another buddy that does the impression. Sorry about that. I don't know why I put you on the spot.
No, I did it pretty well, though. So it's like now you have two buddies who can do it.
Yeah. That was awful. I forgot that my other buddy could do the impression. That was one of the worst things I've ever heard.
Your grandfather says something bigoted at Thanksgiving dinner, but he's sort of on his last legs. So what would Ferris do? Do you let him have it or do you let him have it?
You let him have it.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah, you let it slide. Yeah.
You're not going to change his mind.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of it. And you got to think about
his ways.
Yeah, set in his ways. You got to wonder a little bit how weird we're going to be to a couple generations out from now.
Mm.
You know, what are some weird things that might stick with us that make a lot of sense right now? I wonder, you know? So that would suck to just have my grandson dig into me every holiday season.
I would fucking rail into him. Racism has no part at my family dinner. I don't care if you're 98. I'm going to let you have it. I'm going to pull up a PowerPoint and just show him exactly explicitly, though his days on this earth are numbered.
It would feel so good.
He has to be vehemently anti-racist now more than ever. And I'm going to make him, I will teach an old dog new tricks, and I will berate that old bastard in front of his entire fucking family. If that's what it takes,
he has heart problems.
Shove him.
He has heart problems.
I will shove him out of the living room onto the ground.
Yeah.
Because I have zero tolerance towards hate speech.
Shoving him is risky though, because he has like bone density issues because he doesn't get enough zinc because he stopped eating meat because of his cholesterol. So it's kind of like a catch 22. If he eats the meat, zinc goes away, strong bones. If he doesn't eat the meat, he can't really digest it. Cholesterol goes up, dies from the heart disease. And you shove him. Because you could just educate him calmly about anti-racism. You don't have to push him out of the room into a different room, basically starting a WWF style brawl using the couches as like the ring.
Right. It's just that last Thanksgiving, he kind of beat the shit out of me. So I really feel like now I have carte blanche access to hit the old man with a chair when he's not looking.
What did you say that made him beat the shit out of you?
I accidentally used an antiquated term, and he was kind of offended by that. And
so you're the bigot.
He sort of bossed me around. Yeah, and then
bossed you around. He almost killed you. What do you mean bossed you around?
Well, he shoved me. He pushed me out of the living room. And you know I have that bone density thing, so I fell down and kind of like I cracked my.
So when you texted me trying to get sympathy, you were trying to elicit sympathy. You said, "Hey, my grandfather's really going through the ringer right now," and you texted me all that shit about the bone density thing, the cholesterol. That was all you.
Yes, the cholesterol and the bone density were me. The grandfather beating the shit out of me. That was him. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry to hear it.
Thank you.
You use euphemisms to kind of save yourself from embarrassment. You told me that you moved willingly, but I saw the eviction notice on your desk.
Yeah, I said I moved willy-nilly. Yeah, but I couldn't pay my mortgage that month month before that. Property taxes either. I've been house hacked out of my current property is what I'm trying to say.
That's the saxophone.
Debtor's prison.
Debtor's prison, debt or alive. Because if I have the too much debt, I'm going to be dead.
Nice.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, my social battery is starting to come back, I have to say, because, you know, we're all less social in the winter habitually. And I feel like I've sort of charged up for a summer of filling my cup. But it can be easy to ignore our social battery altogether and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter, like I said. What's the right amount of socialization for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some time alone. Therapy can give you that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I'm in therapy every week. It definitely helps me rearrange my priorities so that I can prioritize my social battery and making sure I have that time to recharge, which I need. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/whatsthat today to get 10% off your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatsthat. Thanks, BetterHelp.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Last one, Ferris. We know that you're a musician. So here it is. You can be the best musician on the planet compared to Lennon, McCartney, Dylan, whoever you want, whoever your idols are, people think you are the new version of. But you have to make an insanely public speech against veterans, basically campaigning for them not to have medical benefits. What would Ferris do? And you can't, no public apologies, no PR team, nobody's helping you.
Yeah, that's just like, I need to take on that persona. Like, that is who I am. I'm very anti-veteran for the rest of my musical career.
Correct.
Oh my God. It's, yeah.
And it's like not, it's not a stance like, oh, you're anti-war. You're pro-war, but anti-veteran. You think they just shouldn't come back.
Also pro-war.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. It's like a kamikaze situation. It's like anyone
who goes
out
situation. That's how public it is. You're at San Diego Comic Con.
Okay.
The press coverage is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Amir's flipping me off for this prompt. Doesn't seem fair.
Sorry, I can't. I feel bad saying it. So from now on, whenever I'm mad at you, I'll just give you the bird. That way it's like you feel my anger, but I'm not derailing the episode. Yeah.
Should I have held back on saying dick and balls earlier? I'm like,
no,
not
great.
Sure, but okay, cool.
Yeah,
man, God, it's like be terrible and be Tom York or just keep being exactly who I am. I'd go for it. I don't have like too many horses in the game. I would just go for it. I would just shit all over veterans and become Tom York of Radiohead.
We have two of HeadGum's main audio engineers on the call, and Amir. And Amir, you have ears. The game is called Name That Sound. Your guys' whole job revolves around your ears. So I'm going to play various sounds, and the first person to get the sound right, now granted, it might not be exactly what you expect, wins.
Let's do it.
Feel free to chime in at any point whenever you have it.
The static is throwing me off. At first, I
don't know if that's intended. I think that's just Jeffrey didn't know how to play it so that we could hear it clearly. So the static was just a byproduct of what his recording capacity was or something.
Are you playing a vacuum cleaner?
Sound into the microphone?
It sounds so faint. It sounds like an ambulance in a distance driving through a crowd or something.
Incorrect. It's a diesel air conditioning unit.
Mm. So was that stop and start part of it, or was that just
audio? Can you hear this?
Dog drinking water.
That's true. All right, here we go.
Seinfeld.
Frasier.
Mork and Mindy. Laughter in a Robin Williams way. Amir, final answer?
It sounded like you fell down or farted in public and people were laughing at you. Did you fall down at a restaurant and that's like everybody laughing at you or something?
You know how fucking humiliating it is to go to your favorite restaurant during a global pandemic, no mask, indoors, and then the reason why people ridicule you is not because you're not wearing a mask, it's because you farted yourself awake after falling asleep in a bowl of penne.
Okay. Is that what the audio is? Or
no, the audio was just a laugh track for Mork and Mindy. I humiliated myself at M Italian in Chagrin Falls, Ohio.
Got it. You farted yourself awake and everyone
in a bowl
laughed
of fucking spaghetti, man. It was like it was spicy fusilli on the table for the table for the road. I got it to go.
You said it was penne. Then you said it was spaghetti, and now you're saying it's fusilli. What shape was it?
It was ravioli, but in some weird way, it ended up being noodles. I took it to go, so I wasn't indoors. That was a joke. That would be irresponsible of me to make a joke out of this COVID situation. But I did take it in the car and started eating it. Fell asleep at the wheel in the pasta dish. Farted myself awake in front of a lot of people.
How? You were in the car driving food. How did you wake yourself up in front of a lot of people?
I was at a light. How? I was at a stoplight in a major intersection. Windows down, mask on, fucking mask on. We're like 14 children on the side of the road laughing at me, pointing, laughing. My crush was across the street.
Got it. Fucking move on. What do you want from me?
We right, understand. Last sound.
Mario Kart, the countdown.
Mike?
Sounded like a D. That was a D on a piano.
Do you have perfect pitch, Mike?
Relative. But nice. Yeah.
All right, let's hear a G. Let's hear a G.
A G?
Yeah.
Does that mean you can just recognize it or you can actually, you can produce that note?
I can produce it.
Whoa.
Relative is like, I don't know. You can hear a pitch and pretty much guess what it is. But I can, if you give me a note, I can probably.
Ha.
Well, no, that would be perfect pitch if I could just hear that. But
you can't.
I don't know.
Okay. Forget it. Name that sound did not go as according to Flynn. I thought you guys would be able to do basically perfect pitch, but for sound effects. And for that, honestly, this is the first and only time I'll concede that segment was not up to par/ my standards. And I apologize to all of you.
That was one of the best ones we've had. It was a clear game that we all partook in.
Yeah,
every
like
one of your other
segment.
Ideas has been awful. That one was fine.
All right.
What? Yeah, what? Let's hear that last one again, because Ferris guessed Mario Kart. Nobody else got to guess.
I can't hear these, by the way. I don't know why, but somehow through loopback, I can't hear any of these.
You have it unchecked, and you have it checked as muted and under the dropdown and loopback.
Really? Oh, you mean mute when capturing?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Uncheck that. You don't?
Oh, wait, maybe I do. Yep, that was it. That was it. Okay, here we go. New final one. Okay, here we go. Ferris, this one's a gimme for you.
Seems too simple, right? Seems too obvious.
Is it a chickadee?
Close.
It's a bluebird in a bird bath.
Very close. Very scalding hot. Here we go. I'll give this is a hint. Blackbirds blogging about the alt-right.
What, it's a fucking a racist blackbird who writes for Breitbart freelance or something?
Correct. Absolutely right, Amir.
Nice.
You fucking nailed it on the head. So it's, it's a MAGA crow in a way. All right, here's some real conversation starters. you could only wear one outfit for the rest of your life, what would it be?
T-shirt and sweats.
Assuming the temperature would be comfortable wearing it at all times?
Yeah, like the temperature aside, but just keep in mind that this is what you have to wear to like lounge around in and what you'd have to wear to like your wedding.
Yeah, really got to strike a balance, right?
Right. So Amir's answer was poor at best. I would say, the word I want to use, I don't think I should.
Go for it.
I would do a nice soft crew neck sweatshirt. On bottom would be the best fitting denim you've ever seen, cuffed above or at the ankle. And I'm wearing a beat up old pair of white shoes and or boots. The jury's still out on that one. A watch to
you
boot.
You wear boots for the rest of your life.
You don't sleep boots. In them. You can sleep in whatever, naked or in the clothes. So I could wear the sweatshirt to lounge. Jock strap on the bottom, obviously.
The ever expanding kind, yeah.
The ever expanding kind. And that's it.
Jeff, so. You got to watch out for, I mean, that look is awesome right now, like the rolled up denim jeans. But you got to wonder when that's going to be so not it, right? Have you thought about that? Would you just roll them down? Do you want to preemptively get into bell bottoms? Like, do you want to change your answer? And just
no,
kinda,
that's a good question, because I feel like
20,
denim...
2030, bell yeah. bottoms, you never know.
You think bell bottoms in 2030?
2032 at
you might be
maximum.
Right. I mean, denim has changed so much. It's obviously started as workwear in the early 20th century. A lot of rail workers, while everyone else in the cities were wearing tweed, obviously. 60s was when the bell bottoms and kind of straight cut was the best, obviously. And then 80s was that regular fit, that high waisted, thick ass Bruce Springsteen style ish.
90s was JNCOs. Just taking us through. Yeah.
The history of jeans. Anyone who grew up going to Catholic church will understand that little jingle. And then in the thousands, it was very thick, right? Selvage in a way, pretty wide, bape, a bathing ape style, thick, hard. And then you saw the shift kind of like towards the end of the aughts, like you had 2009, 2010 kind of, first of all, you had the financial crisis.
You did, yeah.
Which oh my God.
Transitioned us into stripping things down in a way, like your finances, a lot of people foreclosed, skinny denim on the day. And now we're in this kind of slim J.Crew 484 universe that we're living in. But I do think it's a return to the classics. And I think the Bruce Springsteen, and he left. Amir fucking left for that.
Damn it.
Bruce Springsteen style denim is what we're kind of seeing now, but low rise.
Low rise, yeah.
Which for me works better on my thighs. So I think it's nice. A safe bet. And I think that you can also style, like, there's no rule that's saying you can't roll anything up, like, or cuff up or down. So I'm sticking with my crew neck sweatshirt, jeans. Converse.
I like it. I'm going to go with a casual three-piece suit because there's so many layers you can take off, right? You can strip it down to just the shirt. I'm comfortable getting married in that. I'm comfortable. I'm going to learn to be comfortable around the house.
In a vest?
In a vest, yeah. Yeah.
What if you want to go swimming?
What happens when you want to go swimming?
Can you like strip down to your underwear in this situation?
Yeah, so you'd have to swim in underwear.
Down to the jockstrap.
That's what bathing suits are. They're just underwear.
I don't think so. I mean, they're pretty constructed. Like they don't. When you get them wet, they keep their shape. Versus if you're wearing boxer briefs and you get them wet, they're going to completely form to your rod.
Yeah, they're pretty much like mesh panties with shorts attached.
Yeah. That's I used to think
when you
that.
Boil
I used
it
to
down.
Think, oh, like, why don't women just wear like their bras and panties when they go swimming? And it's because oftentimes they're thin, sheer, lace, whatever you call it, versus their bathing suits, waterproof and thick.
What do you think, Mike? What are you rolling with for the rest of your life?
Jeans and a button down. Probably that's it, you know?
No shoes?
No underwear, even.
Nice. So you can't swim?
No, I can swim. I'm just not going to swim in anything.
Largely illegal, but fair.
Largely illegal, yeah. I just saw a TikTok with a woman who was wearing a bathing suit, but it was a thong bathing suit. And she got arrested for that because they were saying she was nude. And she was like, this is
where
this was, I think, in like Palm Beach or something, or Myrtle Beach, one of those kind of southern beaches. Oh.
Was she in like a convenience store or something like that?
No, she was on the beach. It was pretty crazy. But I'm hoping that it gets to some people who like are for whatever reason against Black Lives Matter, but pro women's asses out in public. So then they'll like a particular sect of douchebags who now will be in favor of defunding the police. Now they've gone too far in this guy's eyes. All right. We got to wrap this up. I had another segment. I'm going to condense microphone it into.
Nice.
The Audio Thunderdome. So now that I've got just the audio engineers, what podcast of that you edit would you most like to guest on?
Newcomers. They're watching Lord of the Rings right now. And sort of as homework, I've had a good buddy of mine who's a total geek for that franchise sort of introduce me to it. And I love it, dude. Like,
really?
Yeah. I'm brand new to both. Like, I'm never been a Star Wars guy. They did Star Wars in season one. And Star Wars never really got me, so I didn't think Lord of the Rings would. I don't know. I'm not good with, like, fantasy worlds. I'm more like things grounded in reality, I guess, which is weird to say because it's more like The Walking Dead is not grounded in reality, you know? but it's like a world that we kind of know, and then it's an amalgamation of it, you know?
It's cities that you know versus, like, yeah, Tatooine.
The names really throw you off is what I was learning. But anyways, Lord of the Rings is awesome. So I would love to just catch up with them and, yeah, just talk Lord of the Rings. It's a good time.
Hell yeah.
Probably Dead Eyes, because I have a Tom Hanks story.
Would you like to tell it here, or would you like to save it on the
podcast? I'll tell it here, because I'm literally never going to be a guest on my own podcast.
Yes, let's hear this.
So before working at HeadGum full-time, I worked for a large electronics manufacturer, which will go unnamed, but they do have dedicated stores where I was a customer service representative in.
You're in the Geek Squad.
Sure, why not? It wasn't that, but we'll call it that. And so no matter what in retail, whether you're customer support or sales, you end up becoming a salesperson first for training purposes, whether it's a month or something like that. And so I was on the sales floor just hanging out, you know, getting it was reverse shadowing where the person just kind of makes sure like they stand over your shoulder in plain clothes and watch you interact with the customer and see how you're doing and then give you feedback afterwards. And I'm, you know, sweating bullets for that reason that I'm being watched and it's my first interaction with a customer. And, you know, I'm just doing like helping them with the accessories or something on the wall. And I see the person who's shadowing me kind of like giving me like wide eyes, like I'm doing something wrong or like something's going on. And I'm just like really freaking out like internally and trying to finish the sale or whatever. The interaction finishes and the person who's shadowing me pulls me to the side and just says, so like, I want to let you know that was a great interaction. You know, you did a great job, everything like that. I just want to tell you, I didn't want to freak you out during the experience, but right. You were actually back to back with Tom Hanks for the entire time. And apparently he was just like in a trench coat right behind me, just at the accessories wall, just pulling stuff off of it. And just
holy shit.
Yeah. And I was at the time I had a friend, this is probably 7 years ago or something like that. So I had a friend who was super obsessed with Tom Hanks. And if I had known and turned around and just been face to face with him, I probably would have lost my job in that one moment during training. But that's my one moment. Yeah.
Amazing.
That's a pretty good Tom Hanks.
It sounds like he was in full incognito. No, with the trench coat. I imagine there's like black.
No top hat. He wasn't full bridge of spies or whatever.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah. He wasn't.
Damn.
That.
So he was reverse shadowing you as well.
He was, yeah. He was actually the final verdict on whether I became a salesperson, and I did not become a salesperson. I
would love if he ever does come on Dead Eyes and you do have a voice on the show for that episode and you tell him that story and he's like, oh yeah, you were that fucking horrible salesman at that Best Buy 9 years ago. I remembered specifically thinking this guy's gonna lose his job.
Just flop sweating when trying to find the right size lightning cable on the wall. How could he do that?
Probably spend most of his time just observing your eyes, see if they're dead, see if you'll get the part or not.
That's good.
He would have fired me and replaced me with somebody else.
Same style. Yeah. Well, guys, this this marks it. This is the first episode of the HeadGum Podcast where everybody stayed till the very end. And I want to reward you guys
true
for it.
At all. There's somebody here that
you left for the outro. You left for the outro. You left right after the diatribe. Didn't stay for the outro. I'd like you guys to plug any. Do you have anything to plug?
Yeah, I'll plug my music, Old Best Friend. You can go listen to that on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever. You like rock and roll music.
What type of what's a comp, just so people can like audio visualize.
I get a lot of Weaker Thans comparisons.
So like indie rock.
Yeah, Weaker Thans, Long Winters, something like that.
Dirty
yeah
Projectors.
A little less of that.
For sure. So not that at
not
all.
That,
Projectors.
No.
What about MGMT?
Less dancey.
I'm just going off of what band I think you are already in.
Okay.
you got the hair, right?
For now, yeah.
Like and the long can don't dudes attitude.
I don't want the hair to be long. I want it to be cut.
Oh, dude, you should do what I did.
Holy shit.
You got a wiffle.
I had a full Britney moment.
I thought you were going to take your hat off and then just flowing Fabio locks.
No. The locks are what I lost. They were getting out of control, man.
You're the lockless monster. Wait,
like
the
that,
lockless Monshi.
All right. That's my new Slack. Yes. My new Slack name.
You got to send before and after photos and then change your name right after to the lockless Monshi.
Yeah. I like this. Yeah.
Ferris, would you like to plug anything?
Yeah, on that note, I also make music. It's just under my full name, Ferris Monchi. You can find me anywhere. If you want some comps, I'd say Radiohead, some Chet Faker, I don't know, Arcade Fire maybe. You know, indie rock, a little bit of electronic.
So everything I said for Mike is more applicable to your music.
Yeah, what you said for Mike is everything I aspire to be. Like, I want to be MGMT someday.
Fuck. All right. And then I guess I'll plug review. That about
why are you stressed
it up
about that? Why are you stressed about that?
I feel this immense amount of pressure caving in. These walls have gotten kind of thinner and thinner. A New Hope style. And I need to get out of this because I'm so scared you guys are going to leave. You guys wrap the episode up. You guys wrap the episode up. I'm going to leave, and I want to see what you guys kind of do with it.
Well, Mike, here we are. I don't know about you, but I was left on my own once, and that was not a good feeling. I was just talking about my wisdom teeth getting pulled. Have you ever done that?
Gotten my wisdom teeth pulled or pulled somebody else's wisdom teeth?
Let's start from the top. Like, have you had yours pulled?
Yes.
Have you pulled someone else's out?
I can't answer that legally.
Yeah, I'm like watching your eyes to see if you're going for the leave button on the Zoom. This is almost like a standoff, if you will.
Like, no, we're not going to leave. We're not going to do what they did. We're going to finish this together. We're going to agree to hang up at the same time and just like normal people do on Zoom call. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I guess it's me. The Zoom window is just closed because everybody left. So here we are again. Or let me try to take over sort of, let me just embody sort of Jeff's general vibe at the end of these when he's abandoned. Fuck. All right. This has been one of the worst hours of my entire life. Thanks for listening, I guess. I can't believe they did this to me again. All right. Rate and review. Let's keep this catastrophe running, please. Here we go. Okay. All right. Cheers, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.